And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Here we are, everybody. Hi. Good to be with all of you. I hope you're doing well, my friends, wherever you're listening to this. Are you on the road? You can still drive, you know. You're probably not at work, which sucks. But maybe today we will brighten your day. I'm here with Zuckerman.
I'm here.
Zuckerman's here. You know, for a long time, Zuckerman, listeners have said, you know, you guys should just talk. You just talk. And this morning, our guest canceled at the last minute from the East Coast. I won't say it. He's coming back. And I thought about not doing a show. You know, one of the nice things now about my company producing this show is I don't feel beholden to anyone. And I thought, and as you and I were texting back and forth this morning, I said, you know, we don't need to do a show. There's nothing, we don't have advertisers. We don't have podcast one on our back to produce a show every week. I'm the boss. You and I have this show. We can do whatever we want. And then I said, you know what? I'm not going to do a show. Not going to do it. And then I went in to put my socks on and put my shirt and get dressed. And then I thought about you folks listening there. And I went, oh, you know what? God damn it. Don't be a dick, Spike.
That's hard.
Do a show. It's going to be a lot more fun without a guest to interview. And so we're here, and I told you that. I called up Zuckerman, and I said, hey, do you want to do a show? He said, yeah, let's do a show. Let's do it. 10 o'clock. And we're hot. We've got listener questions, Zuckerman?
Yes.
By the way, we had an inquiry from a very big advertising firm last week who wants to take over the show and fill it full of ads. And I did not say no, but in the conversation, I don't know. I just felt like during this quarantine, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to read hair ads for, you know, everything for our audience is because it's all dudes, right? You know, we have mostly dudes following us and listening. Do you? Can you speak this morning?
I can speak. You told me not to interrupt you.
Oh.
Now, for once, I'm not interrupting you, and now you're not happy. You're
like a woman. No, I'm never happy. You should know that.
You're like a woman.
I am a woman. I'm totally a woman. Now, I forget what I was even saying. Oh.
We're going to talk about advertisers, so, yes. About hair, about penis
so
pills.
So, of course, you know
pills.
What they want to load the show up with?
Dick pills.
Dick pills. You know, the Propecia and whatever the...
Hair
what's
pills
the shit?
Dick pills.
Look at you laughing. We're already on a roll here. Hold that mic up so we can hear you.
I'm counting money.
And what's the other stuff you put on your hair? The oily stuff?
Rogaine.
Rogaine. Okay. Both those came off their copyright. So the generics are out. So it's a field day for anybody who wants to go in this business. You and I could go in this business and sell Keeps and all this other crap.
We're going to have pills that fix your hair and your dick.
Yeah. It grows hair and ruins your boner.
It's a mashup.
Yeah.
And it gives you kind of mass to you, too. You get man boobs.
You put them in the grinder and you just snort them up just twice a day.
And the hair springs out of your nose and your dick.
Yeah. How does it know where to control the hair? But doesn't that mean hair is just going to grow everywhere? How is it only growing? Hair on top of your head. Anyway, I didn't want to read those ads, and I was honest with the guy. I said, I don't know if I'm not a big fan of pharmaceutical companies. I don't trust them really, and I don't want to help them, right? So no, but maybe at some point we'll start doing ads again. Just not now, right?
I could use the hair pills. You could use the dick pills.
I could use the hair pills.
You got plenty of hair.
I've got a ton of hair, but still, you know. Who knows what's going to happen after this?
Fear of hair insecurity?
Not really. Hair is an interesting conversation, isn't it? We're both married men. What does it matter?
Because I don't want to look old. You know, it's the old saying, I don't feel my age until I look in the mirror. And the lack of hair is one of those things.
It's never the mirror for me. It's photography. When I look at a picture of myself.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing, but worse.
Anyways, here we are. I bet you're really happy right now.
Dick pills, hair pills.
Yes, we have to at some point, I guess, take on some advertising. But right now, Hangar 56, my company, is going to take care of this for all of you. And we're going to be ad-free with the exception of the COVID charity ads that we've been doing from time to time. Chronic Caliber has a watch auction where they're donating proceeds. And there was a skateboard shop in Silver Lake that I like. And Matt Jacobson's company is selling masks. You know, if there's something like that, I will probably say yes to it. Other than that, we're commercial free for the time being. Now, look, McDonald's calls up tomorrow and says, look, we're gonna dump a boatload of cash into this thing. And as well they should, as our listener numbers are just going through the roof, Zuckerman, as well they should, then maybe I'll reconsider that.
Money.
Money, right?
Money talks. But, money talks. I like money.
But I don't like the ads. I don't like hearing them.
I don't like
ads,
but I like money. You okay. Like money?
Well, we'll think about it.
I handed you $1,400 in cash.
Yeah, you did. And that was for
my share of car repairs.
It's interesting, yeah. I mean, this is Plan Z stuff. But you and I, when the quarantine started, I called up Anthony Lehner and I said, why don't we just start running cars into Exotic Motor Car and fixing all the things that were broken with my cars, your cars, and our cars.
Right. And then we just came to, there was a bill and Anthony put the bill together without knowing whose cars are whose. So, and it's just a jumble of numbers and cars. And I took and you said, you want to split a 50-50? And I knew there were more of my cars. And I gave it a quick eyeball. And I said, I think I got 2/3 of this. And that's kind of the way that Plan Z works the best when you're not there with your abacus, with your calculator, with your slide rule, trying to get to the penny what anybody owes.
Yeah, just carve it up anyway and let's pay our friend.
You know, you got to wear these things like, you know, an old pair of jeans or a comfortable pair of sneakers. You can't be too strict about it. Otherwise, you'll go crazy or, you know.
Speaking of crazy, here's another example. That's handling the financial part. A few weeks back, the GT2 RS was returned to us from Moise.
Broken.
It looked like someone took a sledgehammer to the chin spoiler. A level of scratch that was unacceptable to drive the car. So I brought it to Anthony. It was one of the cars
and
we did.
And I'm glad you point that out, because it's not that it can be scratched, but it has to be acceptable. There are certain, you know, little minor scratches you're going to get on a chin spoiler, but when it actually has been disfigured and it's been torn.
I forget what the damage to
that
one was.
It was a tear. It was like a giant shark bite out of it.
Right.
Like a
yeah.
tooth.
So I said to Anthony, get this. He found it. By the way, Porsche Beverly Hills, couldn't find it. Anthony said, I can get one right now. It's in South Bay. I'll have him drive it right up, put it on. Pinged Moise. He's like, you know what? I did it. Just send me the bill.
Money bags.
Huh?
Money bags.
But very honorable. We put it on, and he sent Anthony the money for it. You know, an interesting thing that was also going on with that car that still isn't resolved, by the way, that Anthony couldn't really get to, is the air intakes on the side over the rear fenders. I guess they get rocks in them. They're little carbon fiber kind of add-ons, and they rattle like baby rattles. And there's no code, I guess, for the removal of them, so Anthony didn't want to jump in and remove those. But have you ever noticed that?
I have, but we should give it to Greenberg.
Oh, this would make you crazy. I'm glad I shouldn't have told you. You have the white one, too. They're clean. But when you close the door on both sides on the other ones, it goes...
I'm going to listen now. I wish you hadn't told me that, but I'm going to listen.
Well, Beverly, again, I put it on the list of the next thing that goes on. Okay, now, Moise takes the car with the brand new chin spoiler.
For several days. That's
for
it.
For several days.
That's it.
Right.
Short period.
No, he had it for a couple of weeks. And then I said, look, I'm running out of press cars in a few weeks. Why don't you just drop it back? My boys really want to go for a ride in it. He returns the car after all the drama with just returning the car and I can't Uber and everything else. But he returns the car. It's missing a front tooth in the chin spoiler.
Again.
It's exactly
the same.
If you punch someone in the front teeth and they lose one of their front teeth, that's what it looks like. Like someone, like a raccoon took a bite out of it. Like someone took a little saw and sawed off a tiny square. The new one, Zuckerman.
I know. Mark was detailing the car and he sends me a picture.
He goes, what the? Yeah.
What is this? And also the mesh that attaches behind the spoiler, the air intake mesh, that's also disconnected.
I reconnected that stuff. I know how to do that. So the three tabs that the tin spoiler hook into, I know how to do that, and I reconnected that. That's fine. But I called Moise, and I went, what the fuck? And he said, you know what? My driveway, I don't know. And he was, you know, he was upset about it, and he understood my upset about it. And then he goes, what do you want to do? Just go have another one put on. I go, you know what, Moise? I can't. Let's just, you know, at some point this year, this car will go in for servicing. And at that point, I'll say, put a new chin spoiler on it, and don't worry about it. I didn't want him to have to pay for a second one. When, you know.
I wonder if they can kind of do a little bit of plastic welding, a little bit of a temporary surgery. We should have kept the last one.
We should have kept the last piece of plastic.
We should keep a collection and then just put them, you know, like shark mouths,
yes.
Right? Like mm-hmm. teeth. We can just hang them on the wall as decoration.
My eyesight is really starting to go. So I tend not to see that stuff anymore. And if I don't see it, it doesn't bother me as
much. But remember, you had a 996 GT3, which did not have a lift kit.
Yeah.
Now everyone should know this. GT2 RS has a lift. You press a fucking button, and the car goes up and makes it really hard to do this kind of a damage. There were cars, early 997 GT3s didn't have lift kits, and your 996 GT3 didn't have a lift kit. You had to become expert at angling. And avoiding this painful scrape. And I used to take it, it was a challenge to me to be able to negotiate all sorts of driveway aprons and dips and not scratch it. And I hated what that sound when it happened. I would be beating myself up for days.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, I know the difference between the different scratches. It's kind of the, but it's the one where you're coming down into your driveway. If it catches the front,
right, and then
that's
it bends
where it tears
under.
Everything off.
Yeah.
On the 996, that thing would just fly off. That was a constant problem. But like you said, you learn the choreography of your drives. Carrera GTs are the same thing.
Oh.
You have to plan your drive as not to lose.
And of course,
bottom
the Carrera GT did not have a plastic lip on it.
Right.
It just had the car.
Yeah.
It just had the car for you to fuck up. You know, for 2 minutes I had that 512, Ferrari, the BB, and that had just a fiberglass front lip. Talk about delicate.
Talk about, fucking up cars. What happened down in Mexico? Did you drive down to Mexico?
I did. And as is my habit, the car that I take down to Mexico for that long drive is the 2003 E39 BMW M5. That is my freeway crusher. It's incredibly comfortable, incredibly powerful, perfect handling, and it just eats the miles up. And
also eats other things.
Yes, in the time of COVID.
I'm closing the gate because it's a little loud.
In the time of COVID, with very little traffic, I went from this garage to my house in Baja in 2 hours and 45 minutes, which is unheard of. There are times that drive with traffic can take 5 hours. This, I ate it up in 2 hours and 45 minutes. Now, if you do the math, I probably was exceeding the speed limit considerably the entire time. But on the way back, there is a straight stretch of perfect road on the toll road in Baja. There was nobody on the road, and I was going, I don't really want to say, but maybe 140. And
On the Mexico side?
Yes, it's on the Mexico side.
I think that's okay
side.
To say on the Mexico
and the,
side.
On the Mexico side. And this car is pulling hard in sixth gear at 140. And then I was kind of slowing up, and I saw a bird coming from my left, coming from about 10 o'clock high. And he came right in front of the car. I don't think he expected my speed. And he dove down in front of the car, and I did not see him again. So I didn't really know what happened. I didn't feel anything, but I pulled up to the toll, and the guy was telling me in Spanish that I had an ave in the front of my car. And then he said pájaro, which I know is bird. And then we switched to English, and he said, you have a bird in your logo. And I said, and I went around. So I pulled forward. I got out of the car, and in the right kidney grill, I had a bird lodged in there.
And was it was still sad. Alive?
No, he was well dead, and it was perfect because he was facing forward like an old style hood ornament. He was and I could have kept
what
him.
What kind
in,
of bird? A starling?
I don't know. He was a blackbird. I'd say medium small, and he had a long yellow beak.
You sent me the pictures, and it kind of looked like the little starling birds.
Yeah,
it
was a good-looking bird. I felt bad, and I felt sad, and I was also worried. I think somehow that's bad luck, right? That I know when a bird shits on you, it's a good thing.
Let's well, see.
When you've got a bird
when
in
you
your
hit
grill,
a bird at 130 miles an hour in a BMW, good luck. I'm Googling that. I don't know if there's any judgments on that one, but...
If anybody knows, if that's bad luck, I'm fucked
oh,
right
please,
now.
Oh, please, come on.
I do believe in that.
You believe in it?
In luck, yes. Some people are lucky and some people are unlucky.
Well, won't your lucky twos protect you from this?
Not from bird
How many
killing.
Twos in your bankroll will
you
protect you
luck?
From a bird
you
at
100? You don't believe in luck?
No.
Okay. You're telling me that you haven't been lucky in life?
No.
Let's say you're...
Well,
you're,
no, no. Here's how I look at all of it. Good and bad. Like, I consider, like, you know, cancer's luck. Everything luck is like, there's odds, there's statistics.
You're a lucky guy. Coming
you can,
from where...
But you can ascribe luck to anything. It's a random magical thinking judgment. But no, I don't.
I'm a lucky person, and you're a lucky person.
I like to play with it. It's fun to go, hey...
Let's take a look at this.
Okay? Yes.
You and I come from places where opportunities don't come our way. Statistically speaking... We should be back in our shitty little towns on the East Coast, you know, looking forward to, I don't know, Bloody Mary on Sunday and
eating
and
pizza.
Fat and just having gone nowhere. Maybe I'd be an insurance agent and you'd be, I don't know,
I'd
what
be a
the
music
fuck.
Teacher at a local school.
Exactly.
I'd
and,
probably be
and
happy.
And there you are. You left your college, Berklee School of Music, and I think you were bartending, which is
yes.
what your expected career trajectory was.
It was
before
great.
Becoming
I loved
a teacher,
it.
You were bartending, but you really had this idea that you wanted to be a joke writer on TV,
mm-hmm.
and someone walks in the fucking bar and says that they're working on Letterman?
Yes.
And
it's the only show I want to work in the
world. Whole world, and
right.
somehow... That landed in your lap in the least likely place, some sort of bar on the bay in Boston mm-hmm. Harbor, where you're serving daiquiris and shrimps and fried shit and clam chowder and whatever. You're supposed to be on the path to loserdom.
Muscles au gratin. We
yeah.
had it.
Muscles, you're supposed
they
to be.
Really
a yeah, you got. Did you have to carry out that stinky trash, the fish trash? What a
that's
stench.
What that's the barbacks did
yeah,
that.
I
was
that
an
job.
Oyster shucker. I know how to shuck oysters fast and little nut clams.
And you know how to chuck, too.
Yeah.
And you're a card chucker.
Yeah.
A shucker and
there
a chucker.
Goes.
I'm a shucker and a chucker. I'll shuck and chuck. And so you should be that music teacher thinking about your retirement right now. Your kids should be on opioids. They should be part of the epidemic. You should be all fucked up. There should be just
wow.
problems.
So this is all luck?
Yes. This person walks in the bar. Now, granted, you seize the opportunity. But the listener should know that this woman, it was a woman, right? She walked in the bar.
Harriet.
What's that?
Harriet was her name.
Harriet.
Yeah.
And how many Harriets are in the world? Think about that.
She was also a model.
Harriet
Very
the
beautiful
model.
Beautiful blonde model named
the
Harriet.
The only Harriets I know are dogs.
And she then went on to work for David Mamet after that. Think about that.
Wordy, wordy, wordy.
Another
wordy
hostess. I guess he was based in Boston. He's now out here in L.A.
So you just got incredibly
And by the
fucking
way,
lucky.
Audience, he's a Porsche driver.
You got incredibly fucking lucky. Because
Maybe.
Then what did you do? She gave you the number of somebody?
Or I just recognized an opportunity that was in front of me.
So many people who worked for David Letterman were walking into that bar in Boston.
Okay, well, let's take this apart. Because this kind of plays into the problem I have with most of society right now. Not most, but a big chunk of society who doesn't want to wear a mask. That this magical thinking. Okay, so tell me how luck... made her move from New York at that precise moment and go work for that place. Do you see what I mean? She's just on her own trajectory.
Exactly.
It's just an intersection. I think these moments are in front of all of us. I don't think they're lucky. And I think you just need to open your eyes to them.
Well, I agree with you.
They're
you
opportunities.
Have to when opportunities come, when this magic lucky moment comes, you got to seize
yes.
the fuck out of it. Otherwise, it just walks away and you don't know better. So what did you do after Harriet walked in the bar? You got an umber and you pursued it, right?
Yes.
And here you are now.
With you.
With me.
Discussing it.
Discussing it, right?
It is. No. Yeah, it's great. I just don't believe in luck. That's all
I know.
I'm saying.
I've always had good fortune. Good opportunities have come my way. I have avoided.
You're a certain type of personality like I am and many of the people that we know who get after it. Who are like, we have no choice. We just get after it. We work hard. We're very good at recognizing opportunities.
But I've also stated on a lot of bad things that could have happened to me. I did not live my life well.
Could have.
And I could, and it would have been very easy for me for a different, you know, path to have unfolded.
Right, but these
for
are
me.
Decisions you knew in high school like I knew in high school, right? And a senior like, and nothing against my hometown. I love it. But this was not where I needed to be at that moment.
Right.
Now, I might go. I feel like I could go back to my hometown now, buy a canoe and bartend and be really happy
you
and
think?
Play out the next few. Yeah, I absolutely could.
I think that's the beginning of senility. I don't think
it's not.
Yeah, I think so.
No, it's just that, you know, you kind of go on the field for a while. You play the game and then it's more of a retirement idea. I could do that.
Become 300 but, pounds an alcoholic.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
That's the plan you're talking about.
I'm on that plan right now. I want to get 300 pounds. I mean, who is, do you guys know anybody who's eating right now through this thing?
Nobody.
Nobody. It's really hard. I mean, there are only a couple things we can do, and eating is one of them, right? So everybody's baking bread. And, you know, good luck trying to get flour here in L.A. Everybody's baking sourdough loaves for some reason. I'm cooking like a maniac for my family and having fun, but eating and watching TV, Zuckerman, and driving.
And driving. Pondering. I met a guy who says he doesn't believe in the coronavirus.
Okay.
And
listen, now you're going to get me going.
I just want to let me finish this thought. And
okay,
I don't,
go ahead.
And I won't express your, he believe. Also is a big believer in God, which
yes
so he does not believe in a virus that has been proven to be established
that has killed a friend of mine, but
deadly
continue.
Virus. He doesn't believe in a deadly virus, but he believes in God. Now, and mind you, he also believes to the extent that there is a virus that it's a conspiracy theory. And I
very
then
common
start
thread.
To think I start to think in my head the ultimate conspiracy theory is God.
Yes.
and then...
That's a good quote, Zuckerman, and it's true.
And then I'm wound out all day long thinking about all of the things about organized religion. And I'm not saying I'm... I do believe in the whole, in some sort of a spirit. I like to believe in that. But organized religion, talk about a conspiracy theory.
Holy shit, is it a conspiracy?
Is it... Yes.
I mean, look. Yes. Is the only way to say that. It doesn't make any sense. Organized religion has not made sense to me since I was in Sunday school, since I was going to church. I was just going and being told these lies, going, what are you talking about? Noah's Ark? What?
Okay, here's my tip off.
Yes.
And I got, again, I'm going to say I got lucky because I noticed something. Because my parents, out of what they thought it was their duty, brought us to the synagogue once a week.
Yes.
And I noticed probably about the time I was 10 or 11 that Rabbi Elliot Spar at Temple Beth Shalom wore a wig. And he had a big Beatles toupee.
See, he cared about his hair.
Right. And what I started to think, like,
he needed
it really,
keeps.
I couldn't have articulated it then, but I knew that he was a phony. Why does the man of God, who's supposedly all right in the way you're supposed to be all right, need to be wearing this shower cap with hair all over it?
Yes.
And that was the tip off to me that this guy's a phony and I shouldn't believe him.
Well, I've been going bonkers. I mean, first of all, there have been a number of really wonderful comeuppances for folks who are protected by Jesus's blood. I don't need a mask. And then you see him on TV. I'm protected by God's blood. I'm protected by Jesus' blood. And then 2 weeks later, they're in the hospital with a respirator down their throat, the Jesus blood. There was a story I read of someone the other day who, this gentleman who was protected by the Jesus blood, as he put it, and who is now doing an interview to go, look, I was wrong. I didn't know what I was talking about. This virus, it has nothing to do with church. It has nothing to do with God.
Right.
And it almost killed me. And I'm sorry I posted on Facebook the opposite. We're dealing with this here in the west side of LA on this, my favorite app, Nextdoor, which I love. you know, I wish I could say the names and tell you what these people are saying. But Zuckerman, I can't resist it when there's a post about, hey, Garcetti's guidelines. Can you just wear a mask when you leave your house and when you're around other people? It's not hard. And they start to say, you're not going to tell me. You're not going to violate my civil liberties. Tell me what to do. It's illegal, and I'm not going to wear a mask.
And know, if you're afraid, you should stay home with your mask on.
And I always write something like, if you think wearing a mask is hard, wait till you have to wear a respirator and put the plastic into your lungs. That's going to be kind of hard too. But they always have these guys, and they have these really weird reasons. This is a conspiracy. One fella who I'm not going to mention, who is apparently a reputable accountant in the city. Well, I won't even say the city, but somewhere on the West LA. I don't have any problems. One guy said this is a conspiracy by the state to reset the economy. And I'm not going to fall for it, and you people shouldn't fall for it either. Now, this guy is, people are trusting their tax information to this guy.
A lunatic.
And he believes that it's a conspiracy. The virus was created. It was then spread worldwide to, in his words, whatever reset the economy is. Reset the state economy by bankrupting all of us, bankrupting all the companies, bankrupting the state. Now you've got your reset, and now the Democrats have what they want. What is that? You know, the way this guy is advertising his business, like the level of craziness, like you're talking about, and the level of upset over the simple just, hey, everybody, can you protect everybody? Just put a goddamn mask on when you're around other people. So I don't understand it. It's frustrating.
I think, whether I'm a Democrat or Republican, I think that I can't say that we're handling this perfectly. I think that there is goodwill on a lot of the leaders to try to handle this thing and protect people. And yes, we're all suffering huge economic setbacks that I'm not happy about. But to think that this is a plan, it's right up there with the chemtrails, the planes are spraying shit out, the post office is doing stuff to us, all the nutty stuff. And I think that people, again, we're almost back to the religion we need to make sense of something.
People are primitive. That's what I'm learning. Right. There's a large segment of our population that is primitive, like a tribe living in the middle of Brazil that's been isolated from humanity. And you can say anything to them, and they will believe it. They will identify with it. They're afraid.
They will identify because they need to make sense in a way that they can understand.
Right. But in this day and age, Zuckerman, this is the analogy that I like to think about, is if this were the World War II and London was being decimated every night by bombing, these are the folks who would go, you can't tell me to go down the shelter. I'm going to go out and I'm going to walk. I have a right to walk out there. And I would open the door for them and go ahead.
And
go
course,
walk.
And you can. And it's funny.
Enjoy the walk. And screw me for trying to protect you. You simple-minded idiot.
And then the latest thing that I'm seeing is that little snippet, the meme about Kramer doesn't want to wear a ribbon. This is America. I don't need to wear a ribbon. And everyone else
is that?
You haven't seen that?
There's is that on Seinfeld?
Yes, on Seinfeld. Everybody's marching along, and they're wearing a ribbon.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to wear the ribbon.
Well, I understand
and
that.
And then he says, it's America. I can wear whatever I want.
But wearing the ribbon isn't going to kill you or kill somebody else.
Right.
That's the difference. I mean, it's really, if you think of it just like, you know, again, and I may have told this story, but forgive me. When I was 15, I felt like these people, right? I was young, I was arrogant, and I was stupid, and I got a job at a hospital. And I had to spend a day learning how to wash my hands, in my opinion. It was germ control, Zuckerman. And I, at the end of the day, I came home and told my friends, I go, these idiots just wasted 8 hours of my day trying to teach me how to wash my hands and how to keep this. 2 weeks later, I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital 2 weeks later because I didn't follow their goddamn rules. They were right. this invisible silent menace that is apolitical, it just wants to eat my human body, was there, and I wasn't smart, and I didn't just take reasonable actions, and I touched shit, and I touched my face, and I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital, Zuckerman.
Not at the hospital.
That's where I learned the lesson. Try to take care of yourself. Anyway, let's talk about cars. Let's talk about cars, Zuckerman. We got plenty.
Why do we talk about all this? I want to apologize to everyone. We were just
rambling. Oh, fuck that. No, I want to talk about this stuff. You know what?
Fuck you.
I'll tell you something else.
Don't point at me, Ferris, and I'll break that finger.
It's a friendly point. It's a friendly point. I didn't mention this. I got a lot of messages from health workers, DMs. We talked about this. Matt Farr and I talked about it last week. And these people are on the front lines of this stuff, and some of their friends have died. Mm. And, you know, they don't have time to be screwing around on Nextdoor or any of these other apps. And, you know, they said, thank you for saying that. We're having a problem with this stuff. We don't know, you know, at times we don't know why we're risking our lives when we've got a portion of the citizenry out there who's just getting sick almost on purpose and spreading these lies. And you know what? One of them said they're getting, when they see them in their surgical greens, they're getting crap on the sidewalk.
Why?
It's a hoax.
It's a hoax.
Like they want to put on 10 tons of protective gear for a 12-hour shift and as I sweat like a whore, right? Just be a mess and have the mask dig into their faces to perpetuate a hoax? Good Lord. Anyways, don't get me going, Zuckerman. I'm having enough trouble being fake angry right now. I see cars, GT 3.2 says, this is a guy who reposts us all the time.
Right.
I see cars being added to the Z collection, so what will be leaving the stable soon? Oh, good question.
Well, you want me to answer? Because well, if you look around, I just put two cars. Oh, you're getting smart with me, huh?
Do I want
you
to answer?
Getting smart.
I asked the question.
Yes. And so I did put two cars in a truck. I did put my two 997 turbos. Oh. And two really beautiful special cars. And my Meissen Blue, PTS Meissen Blue 997.2 turbo. And my Signal Green 997.2 turbo S I put on a truck.
Wow.
And they are going to be for sale.
Where are they? Who's selling them?
You know what?
Top Gear.
That's right.
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Wow.
And
they're known for a lot of, I don't know them personally, but I know their ads. They have a lot of paint to sample cars,
yeah,
right?
They're right for the 997s. And I felt that as I looked around my collection and I want to make more sense of it, and those cars are like special pieces. You put them on Instagram, you get a lot of likes. They get a lot of crowd approval. But at the end of the day, I wasn't using them enough. And it's time for them to go to somebody else.
You're doing
else.
A curation pass.
Yes.
And I've seen collectors on this pass. I've seen the lead up for it. I'm not surprised by any of this. You, in particular, were on just a war path of buying impulsively on Thursdays and Fridays. There was a time
I like that.
Where every Thursday and Friday, either you or Signy were just like, hey, I got something new, almost just to send on the text thread. And you started to acquire a lot of cool cars, but not iconic or perfect preservation like the rest of your collection. And then there got to be a little bit of a glut here of those cars.
Yes. There is something to be said about sometimes I want to buy things that are not that expensive and not that precious.
Correct.
So that I can drive them and not worry about them.
Right. No, you drive those cars more often than not.
Well,
and they are incredible drivers, and they do have a value, but you also have an incredible car collection.
Right. And when I look at my 997s, the turbos are great, and I really, really did like them, but I've got an RS 4.0, and I've got a GT3.
Right.
And those are the cars that are the ones to keep in the 997 category. But I will tell anybody that the 997 is one of the greats out there. It is a great car.
The Meissen Blue, you're going to miss that car. That was especially a favorite.
I'll tell you why I was ready to let go of it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The bolster on the seat.
That's a seat issue.
It's the seat issue. The bolster on the seat where you sit, the left side where you enter, started to lose its shape a little bit. Now, that's a very easy fix. But every time I opened up the door and I saw that, I said,
I can't do it.
It was ruining my experience. Do you understand that?
Totally.
And I could have fixed it.
No, there's with the life of every car that you've worked on, there comes to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and you go, "That's it, I'm done."
It's such a minor issue. It
and
could,
by the way, the next buyer benefits greatly from that because
he'll
fix
that, and the car will be perfect.
Right, and then he goes, "I don't understand why the guy sold this car. It just had that wrong with it."
It just had that, and that was the only thing. Otherwise, it's a perfect car, but that was the tipping point. Otherwise, I cherished that car, but that was the point that said, okay, that means it's time to go. When I start noticing something like that, it's time to go.
Well, yeah, that's good. That's
and
exciting.
I need to.
As cars come in, cars must go, and you certainly have a lot of great cars here. I drove the Zagato yesterday. I took that out for a buzz. Will Hoyt wants us to put 500 miles on it. I think I put 2 and drove
Fantastic.
From my house to the coffee shop. I didn't go to Malibu because I knew it was going to be a mess out there. But boy, was that, again, you know, that drive. And I got out of the GT2 RS. And again, I'm having this quarantine car experience that it's not happened to me before, where these new cars don't carry me away enough. So I brought the GT2 RS back after one day, got into the Zagato, took one drive, and there was the smile.
There's the smile. And sometime in the next matter of months, I will be getting my 58 Speedster back.
Oh.
And that's going to be the fantastic kill every other car in the collection car. That's going to be the one. And then I'll have that Daytona, too.
I saw a picture this morning of Steve McQueen and his wife in their black Speedster. Did you see that shot?
Yes.
Did you see the front license plate frame? Century Motor Sales, Alhambra. That's the same place 8-Ball was originally sold. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. When I get that 58 Speedster, that's the only car I'm going to want to drive for the longest time.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
3 years. And people were wondering last week why I wasn't in. You said I had back pain. And that's true.
What did I say exactly?
I think you said that I had it because I was just mere existence was causing my back to hurt.
What happened to his back? It's just life.
It's just life. And that's true because 3 years ago almost, I was in a terrible accident in that.
Right,
with a cat
right,
people,
right.
And that really jacked my back up, but good. And
back jackers.
I don't want to get shots or have surgery. So every so often, it flares up. Big deal.
Right. And here you are.
And here I am.
Well, we had fun with Matt Farah. I'm going on Matt's show later today, which is always a treat. Some sort of Zoom YouTube thing.
Ask another question, Ferriston.
Operation. I'm using this. I'm kind of skating along here, looking for the next question. All sorts of comments. People want us to have Pebble Beach out at Bill's from Mini Maxi Pugs, our friends with the Pugs.
They're not the Steve Levy.
Why don't you just ask us to infect ourselves at Bill's? I don't think that's going to happen. Graham loves cars. How did we get to know each other? Me and Zuckerman, we lived on the same street, Doheny Drive, and we both drove cars, and now we're friends.
See,
the new Targa is out. Everybody wants to know our take on the new Targa.
I like it from the outside, not the inside.
Here's what makes me laugh about that. Is there a take on a Targa? Do you and I even have takes on Targas?
Okay.
Because I don't think historically, unless it's a Targa from the 70s, that I have a take on a Targa.
I think that this latest Targa that they did with the 991 really got my attention. I didn't quite get the Targa, say, in the 993 with the big sliding glass roof that was so heavy. But I liked the look of the 991 Targa. I just found it to be a kind of cynical packaging exercise on the part of Porsche, because you would be getting the Targa also as a 4S GTS. They added so many bits and pieces and extras the way they sold these Targas in LA, that these things were almost $200,000. Did you know that? And then if you drove it, you didn't get any air. You were so deep in it. It was so well engineered to protect you from the elements, you didn't even get the benefit.
New prices are 120 and 4S 136. That's where they start. Okay. Here's some stats. Base Target 4, 3-liter twin turbo engine, flat six, making 379 horsepower. 4S, 443 horsepower. What is the 992 Carrera S? 380 or 390, somewhere up there?
Something like this. Fast as fuck.
PDK clutch gearbox standard, which you would want. Porsche torque vectoring, limited slip. I don't know. These cars, I always felt, are for people who appreciate exterior styling more. Right. They look cooler. They're a little wider. And that's about it. If that's how you kind of process how you want a car. I don't know that I would ever buy a new Targa.
I would buy the Cabriolet.
I'd buy the coupe or the cab. This middle ground, I get it. I think early on in my Porsche trajectory, if I were just starting over again, I would be attracted to them because they look good. But
the Targa makes a lot of sense in an early 911. That reasoning doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, plain and simple. All right, let's get back to the questions here, Zuckerman. And I'm pulling them off Instagram, so you have to just be patient with me.
Most
here.
People seem to be curious about BMWs.
Oh, someone, and it was my wife actually asked me this question. He goes, how are you three sharing cars in the quarantine? And I said, that's a pretty good question.
We trust each other.
How can you be safe?
We believe. Yes.
I said, I don't know. I know Moise probably thinks about it more than me and Zuckerman think about it. But in general, the cars kind of sit unused for at least 2 or 3 days between us, right? Is it really going to last longer than that if, say, you sneeze all over the dash?
Right.
Right? I mean, they are just sitting in here for 5 days at a time or a week before using. So, you know, Alcantara. Has there been any research with COVID on Alcantara? Hey, Al. Hey, I'm Alcantara. How you doing?
Hey, yeah.
You know, Alcantara is one of the cheapest kind of fabrics you can put in a car.
And I thought it was so special. The first time I saw that back in about 2000 when I got my original M5, I was like, wow, look at that stuff.
Have either of you had any interest in 80s and 90s JDM sports cars, Toyota, Nissan, Subaru? Would you guys share some thoughts if you have them? I leave that to Matt Farah, Dirty Harry.
It's a cool niche, but not for me.
Yeah, you just can't be interested in everything. I like them. I do like them. I like the old Skylines. What's the old Toyota from the 60s, the 2000?
Well, yeah, the 2000 GT. That's
I like
really
that car
cool.
a lot. I would consider that. I think that's cool, but it's more of a novelty.
You did like
everybody
that,
wants
that,
us to plan Z, the 904 that's at Gooding, the red one, which is a beautiful car.
I did look into that. It is quite expensive. I think it was 2425 firm.
Wow.
And that obviously, by the way, that's a repaint. That didn't come from the factory in red, but that's what some guy did to it in the 70s when he bought it out of the back of a newspaper magazine. So I like that part of the story. And that's the way those cars were sold.
Have you driven one?
No.
They're fun. They're a little kind of squinchy inny. You have to kind of squinch in for
is
me
it
to say that.
Smaller than the Zagato?
No.
The same?
No, it is. Yes, it is. You know, Matt Farah sat in the Zagato when we did the podcast last week, and he goes, I fit in here. His head was kind of up like that, up against the roof, but he actually fit in pretty well for a big guy. He's 6'1", I think. But the 904 is a little, you're a little
it's
squinched.
Teeny.
But it's, yeah, and your feet are kind of squinched. It's okay. It's an okay driving experience.
It's such a beautiful
car.
But
I wonder, you know, when I drove it, I just wondered, would I really take this out on the road a lot?
You were small and low.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the race car I would take out on the road. I would take out a 908.3 in 2 seconds,
so,
open cockpit, on the road, wherever you want me
so
to go.
So here's a question of getting to this 904. If the 904 is in the price range of, say, $2.5 million, great examples are a little higher, maybe a bad example is a little less, but that is the same as a Ferrari 275. You're in that same neighborhood
of
value.
Well, how about an RSR, 911 RSR from 73, 74?
Okay, there you go.
That's a very drivable car.
So which of those three cars?
RSR, without question.
But how good looking is that Ferrari? 275 GTB4, wow.
They're great, but I'm a Porsche guy, primarily.
Okay.
And I just, you know, in Jerry's IROC, which I have driven a lot, on the track and on the road, you can just drive that thing. You get the right exhaust on it, you can drive anywhere you want in it. It's great. Think about the usability factor. Usability, Zuckerman, is the key to all of this. Nobody wants to drop $3 million on a car that then just sits in a hangar and impresses people on a Saturday when they come by. You want to be able to get into it now. This is what I love about this car business. You know, I was talking to Sirio, a friend who runs Aston Martin New England. I said, you know, how are you guys doing? How are the salesmen doing? He goes, stuff is selling right now. The guys with money are sitting around. They've never been sidelined like this. They don't know what to do. And the one thing they can do is drive. And they are acquiring cars. To his opinion, the market is pretty healthy right now for car sales. And I understand that. What else can you do? Go ahead, Zuckerman. What do you got?
Well, you can do some stuff. Shuck and chuck. Chuck okay. And jive.
Surprised to see Spike in the Roof documentary. Really? You were? Were you that surprised? I'm a big fan of the Roof and Alois.
Great guy.
People love it when I mispronounce his name. Okay. I wasn't surprised to be in it, but thank you for looking at it. I forgot I was in it. I want to check that out. Let me know where it was. This is a great question from KingDan84. Any update, and this isn't the great part, on the 288 GTO that Zuckerman was searching for? No, he was just saying something out loud. He is not seriously pursuing the GTO.
And that car was sold, by the way.
It was.
Stuart Copley had that car, the one that I was thinking about.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
And he sold it.
Wait, just wait.
I'm waiting.
Wait 9 months. You get that car for 80 grand. Here's the question I love. Also for Spike on my brilliant friend, HBO's incredible drama. I'm adding incredible. Are you team Solara or Karachi? Those are the two mobsters. Michelle Solara is badass. Stefano Karachi is driving a Fiat 1600 Spider, which is red. And I believe Michelle Solara is in a Fiat 1100, little guy, four-door, Fiat Blue, the coolest car. And I'm a Solara guy. The mobster's in the blue Fiat, I believe 1100. I'm not an expert in 1950s Fiats, but I believe it's those guys doing bad things in that tiny little clown car. I am on Team Solara for sure. Stefano Karachi in his red 1600 Spider is in a million scenes driving around through this dirt road town in this beautiful red little Fiat. I thought it was an Alfa, but maybe it's a Fiat. But Karachi can't keep his wife in line. It ruins the driving experience. You know, if he could keep his business going and if he could keep his wife in line, Leela, and keep her from sleeping with the professor's son at the beach, then maybe I would be on Team Karachi. But the Solaras, they're bad guys. They've got cool car choices. They knock heads. They stab. They're not the good people in the show, but they're clearly the winner in the car game. Thank you for letting me say that. I'm already feeling much better, Zuckerman. That's why it was important for me to get this. You know, I think the people of West LA next door need a break from me, frankly. So it was important that I came here and just vented a little bit. Okay, now I feel a lot better.
Should we organize a next door meet and greet when this is over so everyone can see their opposition?
Yes, I'm confident that I am arguing with 80-year-old men with disabilities, which I should not be doing.
Why you? I think you should.
Because there's an equality. You just see a name and you just treat them like an equal. But I'm sure I'm beating up on elderly people and I should stop. But One of my cohorts there, this old lady who's on Team Spike on Next Door, she said, why don't we get together and have coffee with some of these folks and, you know, meet each other and talk? And I thought that would be really fun. They don't want to come anywhere near it. And one of the guys said, I'm going to bring my gun.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. I would beg that now, guy to show up.
Now,
please,
I Googled,
come with your gun. I want to see your gun.
He's
show me your gun.
A real tough guy. And he,
I want to see him with his gun.
And he will... Well, he won't write, you're a clown. He calls us bottom feeders. You're a couple of bottom feeders and clowns. And then he puts the emoticon or the emoji of a clown up there.
Real tough guy.
And I think he's a former cop that might have been around during the riots. But
come with your gun.
It's laughable. But we were serious. We're like, hey, come on. We can all still be friends and still argue about this stuff. But no, they don't want anything to do with it, Zuckerman.
Oh.
And by the way, you know, tip of the hat to Next Door. They do a great job with shutting down all of these conversations. You just have to kind of flag them, and then They get rid of them because really it's not about, it's not supposed to be Facebook. It's not supposed to be Twitter. It's supposed to be a place for all of us to go without that crap and just have a good time. That is
very funny.
Okay. The GTO update, we're there. Okay, here we go. Pablo Chimbo, your friend from down south. Jeep Wrangler or a pickup truck for daily commute between school and work?
You answer that.
You know what? It's a tough call. The Jeeps aren't so good on the highway. Mm-hmm. That's the one place where I love Jeeps. I want a Jeep right now. But when you get them on the highway, they don't necessarily flow. They don't move smoothly down the road. They're a little rough.
There's a lot of play in the steering.
You got to keep your hands on the wheel. Now, if you're going to be off-roading, you're going to be just driving around your town. That's cool. But I think you might get tired of the ride. The right truck, right? What do we like for trucks? I've always been a fan of Ford trucks, right? Raptors are my favorite. I love Raptors.
I have an F-150 for that kind of stuff, and they really do it well. But boy, is that thing big! It's a four-door F-150. It's a big boy.
Yeah, but they're mid-sized trucks. Even the Toyota trucks aren't so bad.
It takes a lot of gas. That has got and you get incredible range on that.
Pickup truck, I feel you on. I love pickup trucks. I love throwing stuff into the back of a pickup truck. So I'm just going to say pickup truck. I'm going to say that. Okay. Is there a Porsche that you would love to have that is never was never offered new? For example, air-cooled Targa Turbo 993 Speedster. Well, we knew where there was one of those. G-Series with all-wheel drive. Mm. What cars? I would love them to make a 356, a new 356. I would love to see the uproar over that choice. That would be cool. What for about reals. You, Zuckerman?
For absolutely. I would love to see some reissues like that.
I wouldn't want it to be like the Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, that was
later incarnations.
Too playful.
Too playful, right. But I would like, maybe Freeman Thomas, car designer, could reinvent the 356 in a way. He's a diehard 356 fan. He probably has a lot of great ideas. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be fantastic.
Okay, looking to get my first 911.
Oh.
I think I have narrowed it down to, this is DP Britain. DP Britain, Zuckerman, that's who it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
DP. DP. I got the DP.
Dick play.
Double penetration. Wow, it took you a long time to pick up on the DP porn category.
Okay, I don't watch as much porn as you.
Oh, man. I think I've narrowed it down to, here we go, 9972 4S or Turbo S. Okay, your thoughts. One, do you live in a weather zone? Do you live in a place with rain and snow? All-wheel drive, 4S, Turbo,
heavy.
Turbo S.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would go for the 997S, GTS, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or GT3. But if I was going to go 997, I'd want to go 997.1 turbo because that's got the Mesger engine. And the 997.2, they then went to the regular engine. So get the 997.1 turbo with a 6-speed, and then you've got a real collector piece.
I like that. That's good advice, Zuckerman. I'm not even going to jump on that one. Mm-hmm. Konstantin Mamakos, these names. Mamakos.
Hey, man.
718 Spider plus 992 Turbo S or 991 GT3 as value play versus 991 Speedster. What does he mean by that? He threw three cars versus the 991 Speedster?
As a value play?
I think the 991... Is he asking what the most valuable car in that grouping is?
The 991 Speedster is going to hold its value better than any other car.
You think? Oh, yeah,
this new Speedster in the grouping he's given. I think the 991.1 GT3 is a lot of car for an ever less amount of money.
I agree. I thought he meant 997 Speedster. I was going to say, wait, those weren't quite that good. I agree. You know, our neighbors and friend Stacy's been driving his new Speedster.
Wow.
And loving it. It's a great car.
Gorgeous car.
What blue is it again? Mirror blue?
Mirror blue. Mirror, like a meerkat.
Growing up, Spike, did you have a dream car that you always wanted to have someday? It was a 72 Mustang Mach something or other.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly. All I wanted. And I wanted it because I thought I could afford it someday. I also liked all of the old Triumph cars and the MGs and the MGBs because I could fit in them. I thought they were cool.
In that time period, I liked any car, any tough guy car that had louvers on the rear window.
Right.
And that was a Mustang.
I thought the only type of people that drove Porsches were dicks, country club assholes, BMW, same thing, snobs, show-offs. I had it all wrong. I had it all wrong. But now I like pretty much everything. I like anything with a motor.
Yep.
I've been riding my Taco mini bike almost every day out in the neighborhood. So if you see a goofball on an orange Taco mini bike with no helmet blasting around on his grass.
You ran over a snake yesterday?
No, I was on, every night the boys and I take a ride on our electric vehicles. So I'm on that electric bike and they're on electric scooters. And we happened upon what I believe is a gopher snake that had just been run over in the middle of the street. And of course, I snapped a quick picture and sent it to you. And you responded with the bird through the grill picture, which I just thought you'd pulled off the internet.
No.
Had I known, I would have showed way more interest in that. But the electric bikes, that Sondor's electric.
Sondor.
Is, you know, it's a perfect disaster mobile. I love driving it in disaster scenarios. There's just something about the freedom of it. You get everything that a motorcycle gives you, but it's silent. And I don't know. I really love that.
Quiet bike. Speed up to the scene of the disaster. Secret agent Ferriston.
We have a blast. You know what we do? So we get on. It's right before bedtime. So we wait for it to get dark, like pitch black. We've got all sorts of LED lights, and they're on these little Razor E300 scooters that the boys and I have been modifying on a weekly basis. We're upping batteries. Tonight, we're putting a new motor in Jack's. We're putting variable throttles instead of the on-off. And then we take these things out, headlights in front, lights in the back, and we go jamming up to a park in the woods near our house, like this quiet park way up in the hills of Brentwood where there are mountain lions and bobcats. And, you know, there's nobody there. And we go blasting around there. It really is
and this
wonderful.
Is pre-bedtime.
Huh? This is pre-bedtime. But you know what it
you're
feels like?
You're like
you
a
know,
dog
do you remember,
Zuckerman,
do you remember any of this? Like when you're a kid and you're on a street and it's pitch black and the cool air is hitting you.
Yes,
and you're going faster than you should.
Yes.
That's what we're doing. We're doing it every night. And then we come back and we eat yogurts and stuff. It's
we
nice.
Did that and we used to go and shoot our BB guns at this guy's lights. And then one and we would do that in the dark with just that feeling. And
I'm not
that
talking
was
about that.
All fun until he let his Dobermans out. And that cured that.
We used to take rocks on the bikes and just throw them at the road signs as we went by. Pow! Or we would collect the apples. This is real West Bridgewater stuff. We'd get a big pail of apples, drill holes in them, and put firecrackers in them and have firecracker apple fights.
We went and watched Apocalypse Now, and at the end, they call in the B-52 strikes, arc light, and that's where the B-52s come in. So we decided to make Molotov cocktails and go arc light, and light them on fire and throw them into the road to see what would happen.
I don't tell my kids those stories. Right now, it's just cool
arc light,
air.
Arc light.
And arc dead light. Snakes. Okay, what is the correct canyon run etiquette when you were behind a nicer, faster? By the way, have you noticed like people are driving slow again for some reason? There's a pandemic, so driving slowly.
Not on the freeway yesterday.
No, it's faster. No, but I mean mixed with those fast drivers like you. There's also seen people who have slowed down in the left lane like there's a pandemic. I can't drive fast.
I'm going to tell you something. I noticed people passing me. And if someone's passing me, that's scary.
It's Autobahn.
That's scary shit. And people were passing me. An average traffic yesterday on the 5 and the 405 was 90 miles an hour. That was the average
speed. That's been going on the 405.
That was the flow of traffic was 90. And I'm comfortable going 90. When guys pass me going 110 in little Hondas, I think that's fucking crazy.
All right, I know you have to leave in a minute. I want to just get to a few more questions. Correct canyon run etiquette when you were behind a nicer, faster car, but they're not driving at the correct speed. What is the correct speed in the
flash
canyon?
Em.
Josh Burr. Flash the brights. Look. Zuckerman and I are both going to tell you the same thing. We are now part of what we call Flash the Brights movement. It used to be a rude move, but I have now had a second opinion about this, which is the following. These people driving slowly in the passing lane are breaking the law. They are supposed to they're supposed to pull to the right.
And in the canyon, let the guy who wants to go faster go faster.
Yes.
And there's usually turnouts. Get the fuck over. Be aware. Situational awareness. Know that someone's behind you that wants to pass you.
My friends, if you are not in the mood to drive fast, pull over to the right and let someone pass. My friends, if you are behind someone and they are not letting you go over, flash them until they do. Most people will pull over after that. If they roll their window down, explain to them, I'm sorry, but I want to pass, and you are not allowing me to, which is against the law. So flash away. I'm now flashing nonstop, Zuckerman. I will tell you, most people do pull over, and I wave to them and say thank you.
Yes.
But I'm tired of it. Don't get me going. I don't understand why. I mean, the PCH this weekend. The entire left lane is full. The right lane is empty. So the passing lane now becomes this dangerous pass on the right move. And people are driving 10 miles slower than the speed limit.
You get north of Oceanside on the 5, and there's that long stretch by Camp Pendleton where there's no exits and no services. Everybody's loaded up in the left lane and the far right lane. The slowest lane there is the one you can go the fastest.
James O'Beer is raving, too. I've been working from home during quarantine. O'Beer, driving my wife to her work to keep her off transit with the unwashed masses. Look at you, James. I love that. Good for you. I'm doing the shopping in my house to try to protect my family. This daily chauffeuring riles me up right now because it seems during quarantine that people have completely forgotten how to drive. I think that's what I was trying to articulate. I'm seeing so many lane changes without signals, people just stopping in the middle of the road, left lane, etc. I'm screaming in my head at people because my kids are in the car and I can't yell fuckhead out loud. No,
Why not? Teach the kids when people are acting improperly and how you should act. I'd also notice another thing. People walking in the road with their fucking shirts off. The shirt guys. The no shirt guys.
Looking
jogging.
For validation. Well, look, getting back to what he's saying. I understand that you want to set a good example for your kids. And I try not to yell in front of my family or my kids especially. But I do it. And when I do, they always look at me and laugh. And I go, look. I'm just kind of letting the emotion out. I'm angry, and it's better if I just yell something rather than roll the window down and flip them off and beep the horn. And now I kind of feel better. But don't you do that. But, James, I think you're fine.
I got to take a leak, and I got to go make some money.
Why don't you go do that?
Okay.
Why don't you leave?
I will leave. Goodbye, everyone.
You're just going to walk out just like that?
You said to leave.
Can I record you urinating right now?
Fast and furious, lots of bubbles.
All right, can we just do one more question?
Yeah.
Okay. We've answered this question before. Can you fight the red light camera tickets in Beverly Hills? Not generally.
Yeah, no.
You can fight them, no. Status of Z's crash speedster.
We just talked about that.
We just talked about it. Let's just look for one good one to go out on. Okay. Paperwork involved in a Plan Z? There is none. So
trust.
Trust. It'll go wrong at some point. All right, there's a lot of questions. We'll have to just, you know, okay, here's what we'll end on with a question for you. ETA on Mr. Zuckerman's, this must be from a young child, Don 9049, on Zuckerman's blue Ferrari Daytona. I see the engine is not installed yet. Do we know what's going on?
Yes.
This is our closer, so make it good.
I believe I'll have that car in 6 months.
Well, that's it?
Yep.
There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
The question is how much it will cost. I can't get an idea from Bruce. I keep saying to him, he asks for money. He says, can I get a part payment? And I say, what's the total payment going to be? Give me a number so I know what the goal is. And that's harder. That's harder than getting the work out of him. It's getting the number.
Okay, we're not going to go out on that one. We're going to go on this one. During quarantine, these are troubled times for all of us, Niall says. How have the peanut M&Ms been? Have the mutants gone away in this time of quarantine when you need peanut M&Ms the most?
I stopped eating those fuckers. I stopped eating them. I can't eat that shit anymore.
I'll tell you what's happened to me. I've started enjoying the mutants more than the regular M&Ms. They taste better. So there you have it. That's our podcast.
Adios.
This is what you wanted.
Go with God.
We have some terrific guests coming up. We have no advertising. We're going to be commercial free for the time being, unless I change my mind about that. Next week, Zuckerman, you know who it's going to be. Let's promo him.
Who?
Well, there's going to be a celebrity, but I think the celebrity the listeners want to hear, Andreas Pruniger, calling in, the man himself, Mr. GT Cars, is calling us from Germany to guard the information he has about the new GT models from Porsche.
So.
And we can ask him anything we want about the other ones.
Or so.
Angry Andy, next week on Spike's Car Radio. See you then.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.